a little bit later on. But Curtis Patterson doesn't care about that. He's got some a Big Bash on his mind. Looking forward to chatting to him. He joins us on the line this morning. G'day, Curtis.
Morning, guys. How you going?
We are terrific. Thank you, buddy. Nice to have you on the line. Now, Big Bash is certainly one of the topics we want to talk about with you, but you just made a century at Optus Stadium in Perth, of course, where the next test is going to start tomorrow. What's from a playing perspective, are there many venues around the country that have the atmosphere or the look of Optus Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, walking out there, it's quite similar. I guess you can kind of compare it to, you know, somewhere between the Gabba and the MCG, just with the look of it. But it's a really impressive stadium. You know, obviously the instant lights is a cool feature. But just you know, everything around, the change rooms to the seating, to I guess just the whole decor is you know, really first class.
Does that make a difference to the way you you relax during a game, or you carry yourself during a game, with the quality of the facility you're in? Because I imagine around the country you've got different standards of venues, and some are older and some are newer. But when you've got a brand new facility with all the trimmings like you've got at Optus Stadium, does it change the way you sort of play the game mentally, I suppose, particularly when you're out there, not out there batting, you're watching from afar?
Probably not too much. You know, we are really lucky in terms of all the stadiums around the country really are world-class. Yeah, as you mentioned, Optus is obviously, state-of-the-art, and everything is really brand new. So there's a couple of little things we're all trying to work out for the first time. But, no, it's a really impressive stadium, and it's got great viewing areas for both the players and all the fans, and I'm sure we'll be popping in there tomorrow.
What about the pitch? How did it play? Because it's obviously a drop-in like you'd get at the MCG or the Adelaide Oval, but they've tried to have their own uniqueness to it still as well with the saw they've used. Was it sort of like the Wacker a little bit?
Yeah, it was. It certainly had some good pace and bounce in it throughout all 4 days. It started to kind of crack up towards the back end of our Shield game as well, which I think actually makes it a nice little feature. It actually makes the test match quite interesting. It'll be, you know, a bit of a contrast, I think, between the first innings and the second innings. I'm thinking it's probably going to be quite fast and bouncy and nip around for that first, probably, you know, that first day. And I think that towards the back end of the fourth day and the fifth day, it's going to be quite hard to bat. But from a different point of view, I think it'll stay quite low. There'll be a few that'll hit cracks and hit some divots and might do some things, which will be some good viewing.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, what about your own form? Because you got that 100 that Half spoke about, and it was kind of like an elusive 100 for you. You got that bad habit of getting out between 30 and 80 quite a lot, but you've got back to getting your 100 and you're batting really, really well. I'm not sure whether you're looking forward to the Big Bash. You want the Shield to continue.
Yeah, no. I mean, we are playing some good cricket at New South Wales in the Shield, so, you know, it was a bit disappointing to, I guess, end that run, but that's, you know, we knew it was always coming up, and 6 Shield games on the trot is quite tough mentally and physically, so I'm sure there's a few bowlers in particular around the country that are breathing a sigh of relief that they've got the Big Bash coming up. They don't have to bowl 30 over the day. But look, we're really looking forward to the Big Bash here with the Thunder. I feel like I'm hitting the ball nicely in Shield cricket, so now it's just about doing what I can to transfer that over into the short form.
Well, you talk about the Big Bash. It's only 8 days away, I think, the first game that you play against the Melbourne Stars. How's the team looking? Are you together? What's the sort of time that you have before the season actually gets underway?
Yeah, so we came into camp out at Homebush yesterday. Currently just standing to the side of a little kids clinic that we've got running, which is good fun. And over the next, you know, 3 days, we just have a mixture of some team meetings, a bit of, you know, team camaraderie and some training as well. So really, it's quite a short turnaround, as it always is, but you have to kind of do what you can in the, you know, in the 10 or so days that you have as a group before that first game. And, you know, as you generally see throughout the season, a lot of teams will start gelling once they're a few games in and start to understand how, you know, each other perform, particularly under pressure. But for us now, it's just about trying to get to know each other and trying to do the basics and try and play our best cricket we can for game one.
And what is the feeling going into the season? Are you feeling confident that you can take this season really well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a bit of an odd one, T20 cricket, in terms of, you know, you just need one or two players to really have a good run of form or have a good couple of games, and all of a sudden, you know, you can win off the back of that. It's not quite like, you know, longer form cricket where you generally need a stronger team effort. It's just that type of game where you just need a couple of players to go off each night and a couple of people to help around them, and that's what gets you the win. So, Look, we've got some really quality overseas players in Josh Butler and Joe Root, who I'm sure will be batting somewhere near the top of the order. So everything's kind of coming into shape nicely, and we're really looking forward to firstly hitting the training paddock and then getting out there. We've got a couple of trial games against the Sixers before our first game against the Stars next week in Canberra.
Well, I was actually going to ask you about some of those international players, your overseas players, but also the Aussie players. You're probably going to be a bit affected by that through the international season. How do you manage that as a group?
It's an odd one. I guess we probably just take the assumption that we're probably not going to see too much of Usman or Pat Cummins. Particularly Pat, who's been a solid player for Australia in three teams. Maybe post the test matches, we might see a little bit of Usman come in and out. But I think for us, we probably just need to assume that they're not going to be here. Take it as a bonus when they do come back and play for us, and try and get the job done with the guys that we've got here at the moment.
Do you have the depth in the squad? Because Yoss and Joe are only going to play a handful of games early doors, then they're off, and you said Pat and Usman probably won't be a part of the campaign at all. Do you have the depth to be competitive or to get to a final situation, do you think?
Yeah, I think we do. We've got some really good young players who obviously will be on the sidelines for the beginning of the tournament. But I think with the tournament, the nature of the tournament this year, with it being 14 games in quite a confined space, I think that most teams are going to see their depth tested. I think there's just the reality. There'll be some injuries, there'll be some form changes and some selection changes throughout the tournament and as it goes on. So I think the teams that have the best depth and the teams where their fringe players play well, I think will go a long way to putting their hand up to win it.
How do you find Curtis making the adjustment from Shield cricket to the short form? Because you are someone that likes to spend a lot of time at the crease. You've got all the shots against fast bowlers and spin, but you do take your time to then make that adjustment because you are someone that can play very well when it comes to T20 cricket.
Yeah, it is a bit of a tough one. You definitely do need to have those couple of decent hit outs in the net, starting to face the white ball again and, realising that there's no point in leaving balls in this format of the game and whatnot. But, I think, when you look at a couple of the articles that have come out about some really good players in the world and how they keep their base game really similar across all forms. I've read a couple of things on both AB de Villiers and Virat Kohli, and they talk about having the same basics for each level and obviously just changing what we call going through the gears when you're batting. And obviously T20 cricket, you got to go from that first year to fifth year far quicker than you need to in the other forms of the game. But I think my real issue is just trying not to overcomplicate it. As you mentioned, it is a bit of a change, and there's a change necessary, but understanding that the basics stay the same, you're still trying to move with good intent into the ball, and obviously you're just trying get into that more aggressive state of mind a little bit quicker in this format.
So are you a bit of a sponge? Are you someone that reads up? You just talked about with de Villiers and Kohli. I know a lot of the Victorians are much like that. They even get on YouTube and have a look at techniques and things like that. You've got someone like a Shane Watson, who's part of your setup, half mentioned Joss Butler and also Joe Root. I mean, do you sit down and talk to them and ask a lot of questions, or is it more you watch from afar? How do you do it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. We're lucky that we've always got the best seat in the house when we're playing these games, to be able to see when guys like, Shane Watson and Joss Butler, particularly last year, the games that they went off and get to see their frame of mind beforehand and afterwards and all of that. So they're always, the game's always offering little bits of learning along the way, which is what I love about it. And I am a little bit of a cricket snuff, if you would, with learning about how other players go about it. I just find it fascinating. I think we're really lucky that we play a game where there's just so many different ways to be successful. I guess that's the thing that I find really amazing about it. You got guys that love to hit 1,000 balls before the game and they can go out and score 100. You got guys that don't like to pick up a bat for 2 days before the game and they can also go out there and score 100. So those little intricacies of the game is what I love about it. I'm really looking forward to particularly getting to know Joe Root a little bit this tournament and seeing how he goes about his work will be really fascinating.
And one of the things that you get to wear as part of your Big Bash campaign is a number on your back. You've got number 17. Is that a number of significance for you, or how did that come about?
No, it's not, to be honest. I can use this question a little bit, and I don't really have a genuine answer. I think from memory, when I was up at the Cricket Academy when I was a bit younger, one of my first training tops I got given had a number 17 on it, and that was kind of my first experience in a cricket sense with having a number on my back. So I just kind of just ran with it, and I've run with it ever since and never really changed. It's quite a boring story, I know, but there's nothing overly special about it. It just kind of had it once and stuck with it.
Well, if it keeps working, stick with it, absolutely. You've got the Stars next Friday night to kick off your Big Bash campaign for the Sydney Thunder, Curtis. We appreciate your time. We'll be watching very closely through the summer. Good luck.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys.